WBTV's Good Question is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network. Listen to your city at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.
If you're used to driving in a big city, you know that, unfortunately, car crashes happen. But here in Charlotte, city officials think some can be prevented. They don't want anyone else to die in a traffic-related crash. We're asking about their master plan to keep the streets safer.
To me, I don't think the loss of life for anyone on our streets is acceptable. You don't ever think it's going to happen to you.
This is WBTV's Good Question. We are joined now by Angela Berry, Traffic Safety Manager for the City of Charlotte. Angela, thank you so much for being here.
Sure, happy to be here this morning, Alex.
Wanted to ask first just how you became Traffic Safety Manager, how long you've been in that role, how long you've been with the city.
So I have been with the city for 17 years. I've been in this role, I think I'm coming up on 8 years. I think it'll be 8 years in August or September.
Wow. What exactly does that position of traffic safety manager entail?
A whole variety of things. As I tell people, I never have a boring day. So my section deals with everything from managing our crash data, looking at crash patterns, whether there's issues that we can potentially address with engineering solutions. My staff investigates every fatal crash that occurs in the city. We also investigate serious injury, ped and bike crashes. I'm trying to think of all the many things we do. We're working on our Vision Zero action plan, so implementing the strategies in the action plan. I have a group of folks who work on thoroughfare and residential street lighting, and some folks who handle so many things that I did not realize they handled until I inherited them. But probably the biggest one is our neighborhood traffic calming program that far and away takes up most of their time.
Wow. Well, I imagine as we are in a city that continues to grow, you guys have no shortage of work there, especially when it comes to trying to keep people safe with regards to traffic, right?
Exactly. It's going to take a village to keep us all safe.
Yeah, I believe it. I wanted to ask specifically about something you just mentioned, which is that Vision Zero initiative. Tell me what Sure. that is and how that started.
So Vision Zero is our effort to end fatal and serious injury crashes in the city by 2030. And I know that sounds really ambitious, and it is really ambitious. But if you don't set the goal of zero, I always counter people when they challenge me that zero is not attainable. What do you say is acceptable? Is five acceptable? To me, I don't think the loss of life for anyone on our streets is acceptable. And I heard someone put it very eloquently this past Sunday at an event I was at. You know, every fatality that occurs on our streets has a ripple effect. You know, that person was somebody's mother, father, son, daughter, brother, sister, cousin, aunt, best friend. And I think we just don't understand the full ramifications of that little glimpse we get of the fatal crash during the media stories. You know, how the effects of that are so everlasting on the survivors, because it 99.9% of the time, in fact, I'll say 100% of the time, you don't ever think it's going to happen to you. You know, even the fender benders, you don't think are going to happen to you. And so much less to have somebody knock on your door and deliver the horrifying news that you've lost a loved one in a fatal crash, or they've been seriously injured and taken to the trauma unit at the hospital, is an overwhelming thing.
Very powerful explanation there, Angela. This began in Sweden, right?
It did. So Sweden started this in 1997. I believe they had a different term for it. They didn't use the words Vision Zero, but it was something approximating those words, and just have really embraced the concept that it's a system-wide approach to making their streets safe. So it's not only Charlotte DOT engineering safe solutions for people to bike and walk and drive their motor vehicles safely, but it also takes into account, you know, our emergency responders. Are they able to get to where they need to go when they need to get there in a timely fashion? It involves our citizens participating in the use of the infrastructure the way we intend for it to be used. And so the service that I was at this past Sunday was for the surviving husband of a woman who was killed by a reckless speeder. And I spoke for a few minutes and I let people know that we don't set those speed limits just like we don't pull those numbers out of the air. They have meaning in that the road is designed to be driven at those speeds. And that's when you can drive it safely and even lower if the conditions warrant it. So for instance, if it's rainy or it's icy, or we haven't had rain in a long time, so there's an oil buildup on the road and we get a brief afternoon downpour, take your time driving home that evening so that you get home safely to those who love you and those you love.
I don't know if you know off the top of your head, and maybe it was you, do you know who brought this to Charlotte or who said, you know, hey, we need to take this Vision Zero initiative and put it here in the Queen City?
So it actually was here at CDOT. It was part of our transportation action plan 5 years ago to develop the Vision Zero action plan. And City Manager Marcus Jones, after we had a record year of fatal crashes in 2017, which is unfortunate, sat down with our department director and said, I know this is kind of a long-term goal in your action plan, and I'm now making it a rather short-term goal to get this Vision Zero concept fully, you know, fully baked, if you will, and out, and everybody should be functioning from that perspective. And so I'm really proud of our department. Our department uses all the data that we've compiled in the Vision Zero Action Plan to drive where we make our investments in capital improvement dollars. So for instance, when we decide we're going to put a new signal in somewhere, crashes are a number one criteria. When we talk about sidewalks, we look at our high injury network or where fatal and serious injury crashes to pedestrians have been occurring. So we've taken it to heart and really made that the driving force behind all the decisions that we make for spending monies that's entrusted to us.
I was going to ask specifically, yeah, what has changed that you guys do now that you have this Vision Zero action plan, but it sounds like you're saying that you just take into account safety with every decision you make, right?
Pretty much. I think I've given presentations to just about everybody in our department as well as outside of our department about this is where we're going, folks, and safety is the number one thing that we think about and talk about when we're looking at identifying projects.
How has the implementation of this been going thus far? How has it been a tough adjustment trying to prioritize safety with every decision you make?
I don't think that was a tough adjustment. The tough adjustment has been just the overwhelming auto-centric city that we built 50 years ago and trying to undo that auto-centric focus and maybe not undo it, but maybe make it less of a focus and give people the opportunity for more choices. So things like mid-block crossings, you know, when you look at our traffic signal system, in some cases, signals are a mile apart, and that doesn't afford a pedestrian an easy opportunity to get across, you know, a 3 or 4 lane street if the signals are a mile apart from each other. So we have been working really hard to improve our mid-block crossing infrastructure. Our bicycle infrastructure has jumped ahead by leaps and bounds. It's no longer just that 4-inch white painted line, you know, on the side of the road, but we're building, you know, true buffered bike lanes with vertical elements to them and really trying to take into account that cyclists of all ages and abilities need to be able to use our roads.
Absolutely. What would you say have been some of the other big challenges of implementing the Vision Zero action plan?
Initially for me, it was just staff, needing to beef up my staff a little bit. I had three great employees, still have those three great employees, and they do great work, but trying to, I guess maybe the hard part for Angela Berry was learning that it's okay to delegate and ask for help. And my supervisor would tell you that that's not something that comes very naturally to me.
Gotcha.
So I'm working hard on learning to delegate and ask for help. And that includes our partners. So our Vision Zero Task Force is made up of about 25 different organizations across the city, both government entities, as well as advocacy organizations, individual advocates. Both hospitals participate, the school participates, and not being afraid to reach out to all of my partners when we need something and I need to make an ask in some way. So I'm one of those who I feel like I'm being a burden when I make those asks. And I've been gently reminded and coached that it's okay to make those asks. That's what the task force is there for.
We're talking to Angela Berry, Traffic Safety Manager for the City of Charlotte. We're asking her about the city's Vision Zero Action Plan. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, we're going to talk to her about the goals accomplished under this plan. We'll be right back.
If you think or know you had COVID-19, you can be around others after 10 days since symptoms first appeared and after 24 hours with no fever without fever-reducing medication and after other symptoms have improved. If you have tested positive for COVID-19 and you had no symptoms, you can be around others 10 days after you got tested for COVID-19. To learn more, visit cdc.gov/coronavirus.
We are back now with Angela Berry, Traffic Safety Manager for the City of Charlotte. We are talking about the city's Vision Zero Action Plan. What have been some of the big accomplishments in your eyes through Vision Zero?
So I would say a couple that I'm the most proud of are reducing all of the speed limits in Uptown to 25 miles per hour. So believe it or not, Uptown still had some 30 and 35 mile per hour segments. Wow. Throughout Uptown. So we've reduced all of Uptown to 25 miles per hour. Not saying everybody's paying attention to it, but that's what the speed limit is Uptown, 25 miles per hour. The second one is I have a staff member who does a lot of my speed limit evaluations. And I'm really proud that we don't follow what used to be normal practice. So normal practice for setting a speed limit was you measured the speed the drivers were going, and you took 85% of those drivers, let's say we're driving 37. And so you would round up or down to the nearest 5 mile per hour increment. We actually use three different models to evaluate speed limits. So one is from the National Cooperative Highway Research Program. One is from a professional journal that was published many years ago here for the transportation profession. And then one is put out by the Federal Highway Administration, and it's called US Limits 2. And we use all three models every time we do a speed limit evaluation. And then we look for, is there concurrence among the models? If there's not concurrence among the models, which model is picking the lowest speed limit? And does that lowest speed limit seem reasonable? And I'll tell you, that was a change in philosophy for us. I actually was challenged by a citizen who challenged me when I said, if it says 35 miles per hour and 30 miles per hour, and the road's already 35 miles per hour, I just stick with 35 miles per hour. And he said, but with your Vision Zero concept, wouldn't it make more sense to choose the model that says 30 miles per hour? And a big light bulb went on over my head, and I said, my gosh, you're right. let me go back and make sure my supervisor is okay with this. And I sat down with him and sort of gave him the same explanation. And he said, like, same light bulb went off, right? He's like, yeah, a total change in philosophy. So I'm really proud of us that we don't use the 85th percentile rule to set speed limits.
That is very, very interesting.
And I probably lapsed into a whole lot of jargon and a whole lot of technical stuff, and I apologize for that.
No. Don't apologize at all. Have you guys seen traffic-related fatalities drop year over year?
Unfortunately, we're staying steady.
Okay.
And I say unfortunately, but I could also say fortunately, we're staying steady. We're not seeing the rise that we were seeing. So between, I want to say it was 2014 to 2017, we saw a pretty dramatic increase year over year. And so we're holding steady at the 2018 numbers right now, plus or minus one or two a year. But I think it's coming. I think, you know, it takes time and it takes resources. And our city manager has dedicated a lot of resources to this effort. And I'm really excited about the opportunities that come with those resources. He's asked for some transportation bond money this coming year to dedicate towards thoroughfare street lighting, which I think is really important in keeping folks safe, as well as towards some safety infrastructure around schools. So I'm excited about implementing those priorities.
I know the lofty goal is to eliminate traffic-related deaths by 2030. Is this initiative going to continue after 2030, though?
I think so. I'd like to think it's been a culture shift here at the city that this is the way we think now. Safety on our roads comes first. And I don't see us going backwards after 2030. I like to tell our folks at the police department, my goal is to work them out of investigating fatal crashes. I don't want my police officers to have to go give notification to yet another family. Mm-hmm. You know, think about the repercussions and the ripple effect there, right? Every time they have to give notice to a family, you have to imagine the toll that takes on them emotionally as well.
Now, that's a fantastic point as well. I did want to ask you, do you think it's going to get harder and harder to keep the streets of Charlotte safe as the city continues to grow in population? Or do you think there are some big changes that you guys can put in place that would make the streets safe no matter how many people we have traveling on the roads?
I'm hopeful that there are big changes we can put into place and make things safer for people traveling on the roads. Really excited to be working with the North Carolina Vision Zero Task Force. So there are roughly 12 towns and cities across the state, and we get together quarterly and talk about things that are working well for us, things that are not working well for us. What have you tried? What haven't you tried? How did it work? And so the more we're coming together at sort of the city town level and starting to have conversations with folks at the state level, I think that's really where we're going to see some impetus for change, is things that we're going to see at the state level, as well as a lot of things that we're seeing coming out of the infrastructure bill right now.
What's your biggest message for the people of Charlotte in terms of how they can help with this initiative?
Slow down. Speak up if you see someone driving too fast, if you're a passenger in the car, and save a life.
I had a hunch that was going to be the piece of advice there. Angela, anything else?
There's no punchline.
Yep. Anything else you'd like to add before we let you go?
Just remember, it's a crash, not an accident. These are preventable incidents. And so wording can mean a lot. If you've noticed throughout our interview, I haven't said that word yet. And I actually have a jar on my desk for staff to give me a quarter every time they use the word accident.
That is a fantastic point, and I think we need to implement that jar at the WBTV newsroom, because I think sometimes us news folks like to call them accidents as well, and crash is the term.
Crash is the term.
Angela Berry, Traffic Safety Manager for the City of Charlotte. We appreciate the time, Angela.
All right. Thank you so much, Alex.
Thank you. WBTV's Good Question is a product of WBTV in cooperation with Queen City Podcast Network and Balto Creative Media. From WBTV, Good Question is produced by Jack Vandertal. Special thanks to Jamie Bowl. For the Queen City Podcast Network, WBTV's Good Question is produced by Brian Baltashevitz and Maria Delgado. Production coordinator, Taylor Robinson. It is recorded at the Queen City Podcast Network studios at Huga Coworking in Charlotte, North Carolina.
QueenCityPodcastNetwork.com.